Welcome to Tracks Cultures, the podcast dedicated to unraveling the intricacies of transitions across cultures. Whether you're a globetrotter embracing new cultures, an expat transitioning to life in a foreign land, or a supportive friend or family member, this podcast is your companion on the expedition through the exciting and sometimes challenging realms of culture shock and transition. I'm your host, Mike Piccinato, and I've been on my own cross-cultural journey, navigating the intricacies of culture shock, language barriers, and the joys and frustrations that come with embracing a new way of life. Much of what we do in this series will be framed by the book Transitions Across Cultures by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Stephen and his wife, Jenny Jones, will be frequent guests on the show as we accompany them on their own cross-cultural journey as they leave their home and life in Minnesota to join me at Envision Berlin in Berlin, Germany. This is episode 15 of Tracks Cultures. This is a legacy podcast from Unterwegs, the En Route podcast, being re-released here as we build a focused channel for our conversations about transitions across cultures. The original episode was released on December 15th, 2021. Stephen and Jenny, welcome back. It has been a while since we've recorded with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been, which doesn't feel possible, but yeah, we've been here a while now.
You have been. And so some of that not recording has been intentional, right? Because the next steps in our transitioning across cultures often is things that happen after you've been here a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not there yet, right? So doesn't make sense to talk about them yet.
But we wanted to come back this week and do kind of a holiday special. In some ways, that's good. And in some ways, it's a holiday special because we're going to talk again about the neutral zone, about culture stress, and about culture shock, and what role that is playing, especially as you guys are transitioning through some holidays now. So maybe, Stephen, it would be helpful if we go back as a quick review and you give us working definitions again for the neutral zone, for culture stress, and for culture shock.
Sure. So the neutral zone is this space that happens in the midst of a transition where you've already stopped being what you were. So you've experienced a bunch of endings, but you don't yet have the new version of you, if you want to think about it that way. It's like all the new beginnings haven't started yet, and at least not enough that you can say, okay, yeah, I know who I am now, or I know what it looks like to be me here in this place. So it's this space in between. It's sometimes called the space of fallow neutrality, right? Where you like the idea of letting ground lie fallow, where it's really hard to be very productive, even if you put a lot of energy into it. Culture stress, we talk about culturally stressful incidents. So this idea that when you find something different, perhaps, than you expected it to be, or something that you don't understand, or something that you maybe understand but don't like, that's part of the other culture. That's something we would talk about as being culturally stressful. And then culture shock is different from that, in that it has to do with the cumulative disorientation is kind of the key phrase for culture shock. It's that over and over and over again, the world doesn't work quite like you expect it to. And that just adds up and creates this sense of just really sometimes very profound unwellness, right? Like you're just like, I'm just not okay and I don't even know why. Very often preceded by a time of feeling pretty good when you first arrive somewhere. So yeah, that kind of that honeymoon stage, and then you get into this like, oh my goodness, like why am I even here? And those kinds of questions. And eventually, as you gain competence and confidence in the local culture, you start to work your way out of that. And the process for that is not quite the same as moving out of the neutral zone. The little bit different processes that are in mind there, but they're often happening in kind of a similar time frame.
We are coming up on holidays, but also coming out of holidays. And so kind of this holiday special is going to encompass both ends in that what are things that we're looking ahead towards and what have we already experienced. And so the part of holidays that we've already experienced would be Halloween and Thanksgiving would be the two holidays we've kind of always already processed through from an American point of view. And then thrown in there is also a German holiday called St. Nicholas Tag And then coming up, of course.
Oh, and St. Martin's Day also?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually for young kids,
right.
It's more the St. Martin's talk thing.
We definitely noticed it, though.
So Jenny, what has it been like to be kind of in this neutral zone or some of the cultural stresses, culture shock things as you've gone through Halloween and Thanksgiving?
So I think thinking about Halloween first, I got the impression just through chatting with people even before I got here or some knowledge about European countries in general that, you know, Halloween wasn't really a thing here. Maybe, you know, it was acknowledged or it was like, oh, but not really a thing. So, yeah, I think the first even with that is like starting to see in different stores the like pumpkins, the jack-o'-lanterns, or witches, or ghosts. And I was like, this is weird. Like, this is, why am I seeing this? Obvious decorations that would be in the States or a similar sort of thing. Why am I seeing that here? My brain had trouble understanding. And that was the extent of it for a little while. And then Halloween came, and the first sort of thing that day was we went on a walk. All of a sudden, we're seeing families out with like dressed up like costumes, and we're like,
and individuals. Ooh. Like, remember that morning we went out and we saw.
Oh, the first person we saw was someone in like a plague mask, which is not a normal thing to see here, and walking their dog. And we're like, wait a minute,
like what's going on?
Yeah, so yeah, just sort of being baffled by that, and it was a Sunday. And so then, some other, Americans in the building, colleagues, then their kids came and knocked on our door and said, trick or treat. And we're like,
oh, maybe because there are American colleagues that are dressed up, but it's Sunday, which means the stores are closed, which means the fact that we don't have candy can't be remedied.
Right.
And the kids had their, well, we have some like chocolate kisses, or we have an open bag of gummies. We're like, right. That doesn't.
Yeah, our kids, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that doesn't feel like a good idea. So we messaged our friends in the building, and they're like, oh, wait, do you want some? We have extra. And we're like, sure, because maybe we'll need some. And then as the evening went on, our doorbell kept ringing.
No way.
So we're like, wait a minute, I don't understand. And so, I mean, we actually had more trick-or-treaters than we did ever in the States, in the town of Minnesota that we were in, mostly because of the street we lived on, which was just a little bit of a wonky street. But yeah,
it was right in the middle of the town, right? Like, so like it is interesting that we had so few trick-or-treaters in the States and then so many here.
Yeah. So it might have been us that have said, that told you, hey, Halloween's really not a thing here. And it isn't, it hadn't been, but I think it's growing in popularity. It's increased for us in our building, and we were also completely unprepared. We're raiding our chocolate, and Alyssa's handing out like whole chocolate bars. I'm like, what are you doing? Now they're going to come back.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I know this one apartment that gives out great candy.
That house. So whenever... Yeah, the doorbell rang. We decided, because it was sort of a cultural experience, because they came out saying, I think, Süß or Sauer?
Yeah, Süß or Sauer.
Yeah, sweet and so, or sour. Like, and then I also messaged our friend, like, what do you say in return? Like, do you say something? We don't, and she's like, happy Halloween? And I'm like, oh, okay.
I got that.
But yeah, so we decided to take turns answering the door. So it wasn't just like one person opening the door to a bunch of strangers. We were each like balancing the like cultural weirdness that we
were
experiencing.
Were you sharing the joy or the pain?
A little of both.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There was definitely some avoidance. We're like, no, just go do it. You can do it. It's okay. You just got to open the door.
Turn the lights off.
Right. Yeah, we didn't have a porch light to flip on or off, you know, to be like... but then we eventually stopped answering the door once it was like
It was after 8, I think.
Yeah, and we're like, you know, I think we're in for the night. We're done.
And not answering the door also means not letting people into the building because we're the first ones, you know, that people usually would ring. And so, yeah.
Because there was a few of those, which I didn't know. Because in the building, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Well, then out of the building, I mean, we have several different apartment buildings that are in our clump, I guess. And so I'm guessing they're from other houses. But yeah, so it was like, we're letting people in the building. Is that okay? Like,
we live on the ground floor, and I was cooking while all of this was going on. And so behind the kitchen is our patio. And at some point I heard this knock behind me in the kitchen, which is very unusual. And I turn around and there's this mask looking at me through the window. And so, yeah, that was just a really strange feeling. Yeah, unexpected.
So, yeah, I think there was some of the feeling of like, oh, this feels very familiar, but also very different at the same time. And we're like, oh, I guess next year the kids can dress up.
Or, right, yeah, that was the other thing. William didn't do anything for our kids.
Yeah,
you know?
Our youngest was really bummed. Like, he enjoys dressing up, like makeup, the whole thing. And so he was... For like my mental health, I didn't feel like I had the capacity to navigate a costume necessarily.
Because we thought nobody else was doing
it. Right. And I was like, okay, I don't have to do that right now. But then it was like, oh, shoot.
So next year, watch out. And it won't be a Sunday either, so.
Right.
It'll also be different.
Mm-hmm. Right. If we forget, we can go get some candy.
And so what about Thanksgiving?
I think Thanksgiving was kind of like our birthdays in that it was harder than I thought it was going to be. And there were a couple of reasons for that. So one is like Thanksgiving itself, you know, that it's just not the same here, and we can talk about that. But I think there's also more the question of like, what are you coming to the holiday with? And being in the middle of this transition zone, the neutral zone, where we don't feel like we have our feet under us. And yeah, and there are a couple of big logistical things that we're trying to figure out with how we do what we're doing here, that we're kind of like, we were becoming aware of some of those disconnects right at that same time. And so it just... this feeling of not having any kind of a firm foundation, not knowing where we were standing in terms of how we do what we do. One of the things that is really typical in the cross-cultural transition experience is this issue of role deprivation. And so for me, you know, I went from teaching college classes for a decade to now I haven't taught since, you know, last spring. And so something that I feel pretty competent at and pretty confident in and something I really enjoy, I haven't been able to do. You know, in some ways there's a sense of that being nice, like getting a break from it. I certainly don't miss certain elements of, you know, trying to navigate all of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes of how you make college work. But I think that sense of just kind of not feeling super great about ourselves and not super great about where we are. Yeah, we're definitely not into that set of new beginnings. We're like, okay, yeah, we know who we are here and we know how to be us here and we know how to do what we care about here. Like, we're just not there yet. Mm-hmm. And so... stepping into a holiday that to me feels like more of a reflective space. Thanksgiving kind of, I don't know, for us has been a time where we don't usually do a great big Thanksgiving, but I think for me at least, I think back quite a bit. And thinking back when you don't know where you are is hard to me. I don't know.
Yeah, so we do a thing after we eat where we, you know, go around and say the alphabet with what we're thankful for. And thinking about that, even like before we did the meal portion, was like, oh, the things that we are thankful for, which we do have many things to be thankful for, are also, sort of covered or shaded with a lot of sadness with leaving and transition and things like that. So I think a time that feels more intimate felt, there's a sense of vulnerability that is poked at, I think, when we start thinking about holidays.
So we did Thanksgiving with you guys.
Yeah.
Which was great. And then our intern Rachel was also there. And so it was good. You know, there's the awkwardness always of figuring out how does this family do just the fundamentals of Thanksgiving. I remember you asked, like, okay, so do you guys cut the turkey before the table or at the table?
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, just things that you don't even realize might be different. Even things like trying to find a turkey, you know, that is of reasonable size to feed people, all of those things. But I think, so there was this sense of, this is nice. We like being in this space with these people, you people.
Thank you.
It's like, and the food had a familiar sense to it. So it's not like it was a bad experience.
I think it was, you felt the new things again, because for me, like preparing just the logistics of preparing food, it's like, oh, can I find the things that will I find them in the same way?
What are they called here?
Right.
Once you're done making it, how do you get it there? Right.
So public transportation.
Exactly.
How do you transport it?
So we're carrying, you know, this pie and sweet potato
very
casserole.
Very fragrant.
And,
yeah. Things were like,
on
this
the tram,
feels weird.
You know, and I'm like, I hope it doesn't get, anything. There's so many things that could go wrong, right? Walking around the city with the.
And it started raining.
Yeah, that's right.
We're like, no, cover the pie.
Yeah, and then, you know, wanting it to not get cold in the on the way there. And yeah, it just feels very different than loading it up into the car, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with the time difference, like, something that we've often done is put on the parade. You
right.
know? And that, you know, there
in
is...
In the morning as you're waking
exactly,
up because it's
exactly.
a day off.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also wasn't a day off.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the day before Thanksgiving or the day after, which the kids definitely felt. And I think even the idea of their friends or cousins or family having the day off. I mean, the only positive thing about that, well, maybe not the only positive, but one of the positives is our youngest got to play with his friend in the States on those days, which he like on online because he usually doesn't, but they had off.
Right.
So there was, yeah, some flexibility. So he felt good about that. It was, you know, he was home from school and his friend was just waking up. But yeah, so there was that plus. But the feeling of not being off was a weird dynamic, I think, because you think of those days as like relaxing, except for like preparing, but it's also like you're free of your normal responsibilities. And that wasn't the case. Like, we still had language class, this kids still went to school.
That's
yeah.
the weirdest. I mean, so we Sabbath on Thursday. So having that as a day off was for preparation was fine. But some of the background stuff, you're right. Like even putting on NPR's Thanksgiving show in the background as people are calling in for emergency help. You can't do that. Or, I mean, there's just a ton of little things that you miss. And for me, this was different this year as well, because usually our Thanksgiving has a bit of a serving others feeling to it, in that we're inviting German friends or German neighbors and helping them experience Thanksgiving. We have some people that we normally celebrate with. And over the last couple of years, realizing that the new couples we're onboarding, they aren't there yet, and we don't want to abandon them. Mm-hmm. And so how do we do Thanksgiving together? And new now in our role as Envision, realizing we'll often have interns or mm-hmm. students here that need that experience as well. So there's a lot of shuffling even years into what is the role of Thanksgiving in our lives?
I think this is also part of where it's helpful to distinguish culture shock from the transition experience, because in some ways, like, even though you guys aren't experiencing culture shock right now, right? Like, you're not in the midst of a cultural transition. You are in the midst of a transition from one branch to another branch, right? And so with that comes some of those things that, you know, certain patterns have ended and it's not really clear yet what the new ones will be.
Yeah. One of the things I still feel when it comes to Thanksgiving is the absence from family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the day, because called family on the day, but it's also the preparation for it. And on one hand, and for any family that listens to it, I know nobody is intending anything in a bad way, but even being a part of the chats that who's bringing what, who's bringing this, oh, don't forget that, that's right. Our favorite. What time are we getting together and whose house is this at?
And are we taking pictures?
Yeah. On do we need to coordinate clothing? All of that is part of it. And
is somebody going Black Friday shopping in the morning afterwards? Or, you know, I mean, all of that, right? There's all those different pieces.
Are you going to stay the night so that we can all get up early in the morning and head out? And yeah, a lot of those pieces that, on the one hand, it makes complete sense that when we're 7 hours away from a time zone or 8 hours away time zone wise and thousands of miles to not be included in those conversations, but you do miss them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think even one, it was like, they were chatting about preparing for a gathering, you know, and they're like, oh, you know, we're trying to figure out what they're going to make. And in my brain, I'm like, oh man, be so nice, if, you know, for an easy thing to just go get a bag of baby carrots. Yeah. Baby carrots.
So you were following your family's planning, or?
Yeah, it was just, the part of a phone conversation at some time. But even like something as little as like something that I was like, oh, I would go get that and, you know, some olives or whatever, and it'd be great.
Green bean casserole, when you go to try to buy a can of cream of mushroom soup and you're like, they don't have any cans of cream of mushroom soup.
Although that works out okay, because Jenny made the cream of mushroom from scratch and it's much better.
Oh, but, it was amazing. But
it was the fried onions on top. I realized, oh, it's not, I don't have any like fried onions.
They do have those here.
Oh, I haven't found them yet. Okay. You have to point them out.
I will point them out. But yeah, though everything's in different places in the store.
Well, and even like black olives, we haven't found our family's favorite black olive here yet. You know, not like not looking for the brand, but like looking for a black olive that we're like, yeah, that's the one we like. We haven't found it yet.
And so these are all just parts of the Thanksgiving thing. Even us asking, how do you like the turkey sliced, came from an experience with another family that we were doing Thanksgiving with. And I brought the turkey out to the table, just like it was always done in my house growing up. It was carved in the kitchen, brought out to the table, and we ate. And the look of shock of, wait, you didn't carve the turkey at the table? And realizing, oh no, I just contributed to a culture shock moment. And now it's just easier to ask.
Yeah. I think one of the things that hit me in an unexpected way was, we have for years now smoked our turkey on the grill. And it's a process that I enjoy, you know, and having been living in Minnesota, it was often very cold on Thanksgiving. And, you know, even just that thing of like going outside and like seeing the heat rising off the grill, you know, with the snow in the background and then the smell, you know, from the hickory chips. And I just really enjoyed that. And it tasted so good. And it, you know, and then the leftovers, because the turkeys are so huge in the States. And, but just realizing like, I don't know when I will be able to smoke a turkey for Thanksgiving again. It doesn't really make sense to do it where we're living. Like, we don't have a grill that would work with a turkey. You know, and I'm not sure. Yeah, trying to remember through the you know, 20 or 30 page rental contract, what we're even allowed to do, you know, and just thinking like, I might have smoked my last turkey for years last year without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine deep frying a turkey here either.
It doesn't make sense here. Like, where would you do that?
Lots of little things you just can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine most of the time. But then you go to this kind of, you know, big holiday thing and it's like, oh, that is inaccessible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's part of where the transitions model that we've talked about, paying attention to those endings, is super important.
Yeah.
And often you don't realize them until after the fact. But then when you do come across them saying, oh, that's an ending, like, it was important for me to recognize that the smoking turkey, you know, like that is an ending. And I can be sad about that. I can mourn that. And that's better than pretending like it hasn't ended. But yeah, but it hurts. And so then you bring that to, you know, the Thanksgiving meal of like the turkey that you made actually was delicious, but it wasn't our turkey. You know what I mean? Right. And it was like, so yeah, I mean, it was actually really good.
But it's still,
yeah. Yeah.
In these moments of reflection, you have to go in being intentionally reflective, because you're going to feel the feels, and you might not necessarily know why.
Right. And it's a lot easier to take those out on the people around you, right? To get frustrated with other people. When we talked about those before, some of those ways that coping comes out. For me to just realize, oh, I'm sad today. And I'm going to be sad today. And that doesn't mean I can't enjoy elements of it. But like, everything that happens today is going to be filtered through that sadness. And that's okay. That's what this process is. But if I don't recognize that, then it's like, why are you making me sad? Or why are you making me mad? Or why are you, you know, it's like, no, this is me processing my own stuff here.
I think something for the kids that was unusual, you know, I just came home saying, I think there was only one other person in my class that like knew about Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And for him, that just blew his mind, because usually, again, all the things that lead up to Thanksgiving, you're doing stuff at school, you're, you know, whatever the celebratory or preparation sorts of things.
A hand turkey.
Yeah. Mm. All of those things didn't happen. And then to think about only one or maybe two other people knowing about the holiday, I think was just shocking for him. And yeah, then our older two in their English class talked about Black Friday. And one of the people like, isn't it a holiday? And they're like, okay, how do I explain Black Friday in my own language, in English? But the concept, you know, so it was interesting, the different things that came out even for them that they weren't prepared to process. And that they even outside of, you know, not having, or, you know, having to go to school and all of that, but it's new things that they weren't expecting to have to think about.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I think we'll bring this episode to a close kind of with the neutral zone of some of those spaces, those holidays that we're used to celebrating in a certain way. And then next week we'll talk about some of the new holidays and looking forward to Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again next week with part two of this interview with Stephen and Jenny. And as always, if you want to send us an email, you can to podcast@envisionberlin.com, or you can join our Discord server to join the conversation there. I'd also like to encourage you to go to iTunes and to rate and review our podcast. It'll just help it show up better on searches for other people as they're searching for content. Thank you so much.
This podcast was produced by Envision Berlin in our studios located in Berlin, Germany. If you'd like to send us a note, feel free to send your email to podcast@envisionberlin.com. Thanks for listening.